This is Shelby Hansen, and you're listening to Episode 68, Mastering Life's Transitions, Three Secrets to Flourish Through Change. Welcome to the Get Your Energy Back podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Hansen. As a life coach, invisible illness warrior, and kidney transplant recipient, I've navigated the waters of chronic fatigue for nearly a decade and can help you feel more energized and alive than ever before. In this podcast, we dive deep into topics that can help you boost your energy levels and live a more vibrant life. Whether you're looking to overcome limiting beliefs, improve your relationships, gain a better understanding of what is affecting your energy levels, or simply find more joy and fulfillment in your life, the Get Your Energy Back podcast is the perfect place to start. So sit back, relax, and join me on this journey towards a more energized, balanced, and vibrant life. Hello and welcome to the show today. Today, I'm going to be sharing three tips for times of transition. Now, I feel like I have quite the authority of being able to speak to this because I have lived in 13 states and two foreign countries in my life. And the time that I lived in a place the longest up until right now was actually in college, my 5 years of college, which, funny enough, it was actually 6 years of college, but I moved in the middle of graduate school. So I have had so many transitions in my life, so many times of moving or things where I think it's going to be one way and it's another way. That's part of life, living as the daughter of somebody in the military, my husband in the Air Force. So as we come to this spring months, especially if you have kids in school time, there's a lot of transition. April was kind of the transition month, I feel like, between spring break and everybody's just, you know, getting their spring breaks and doing a lot of different things. And then we're about to hit May, which is the end of school for a lot of people. And it can be a time that can feel pretty dysregulating. And especially if you are military, some of you out there are, you might be moving this summer. So I wanted to talk about what are some things that you can do personally to help you when you're going through a transition and to make it just easier on yourself and easier on you physically, emotionally, mentally. So here's my top three tips for you today, and I'm going to tell you what they are and then dive into each one of them just a little bit. So the very first one to do when you find yourself in a time of transition, whether you're having a diagnosis, if you're moving, if you are having an increase in physical symptoms, the first thing to do is to slow down, which is counterintuitive. The second thing is to seek self-compassion. And the third thing is to find the familiar and slowly add in new things. So we're going to talk about each one of those. So the first one is slow down. When you are in times of uncertainty where you feel like you can't really predict what's going to happen next, I know this happened to me a lot, especially I think about our move from our very first duty station was here in Ohio, and we were moving from Ohio to Japan. But in between, we were doing something called a TDY en route. So I had had our second child. She was 4 months old, and we were moving 3 months to Washington, D.C. in order to get language training and then moving 3 months or 3 or 4 months after that to overseas. So not only did I need to pack up the things for what was going to stay in the United States for 2 years, I also had to pack up what was going to go overseas and what would be the short term, the things that we would get very first when we got overseas, the things that would be getting there a little bit later, and then everything that I was going to need for a two-year-old and an essentially newborn for the next 3 months of being almost camping in a hotel room. So lots and lots of decisions to be made. And we didn't have our orders, and I needed to get cleared by Exceptional Family Member Program. So there was so many boxes to tick, so many things to check off to do, And I was stressed out of my mind because there was so much that was out of my control. And so that's why I talk about slowing down, because the tendency, especially if you're somebody that experiences chronic fatigue, the tendency is to want to speed up because it feels like you have control if you start taking action. The problem is the energy that you're taking the action from. If you're taking the action from the energy of this fear of, I don't know what's going to happen, so I got to go make something happen, that is not going to lead to your best actions. It's going to be a very fatiguing energy source to drive your actions from. So my recommendation is that when a new change is happening, allow the time to slow down. Now think about if you do find out if you're going to move, or if you do find out that you have a diagnosis, like a new diagnosis or something, time slows down in those moments. When you get big news or if somebody passes away, it feels like everything around you just shuts down and all you can think about is that big thing that just happened. Time feels really, really slow. And so rather than trying to hurry up your way out of it, my recommendation is to flow with it. Let the time be slow as it needs to be. And going through that slow time is actually going to promote healing physically and emotionally as you're going through whatever it is you are. So I want to tell you a little bit of story about this to illustrate the point. So after my kidney transplant, I had gotten some test results back and the new kidney was not filtering properly. That's what kidneys do. If you're not familiar with kidney disease, kidneys filter out the toxins in your blood. So as I was healing from this surgery, my new kidney wasn't functioning. Blood was going through it, but the filters inside of the kidney were not filtering out the toxins. And so because of that, the toxin levels in my blood were going really, really high. And I was feeling terrible in my body. I had all sorts of symptoms. I had really debilitating anemia. Fatigue was just off the charts. So much nausea. I could hardly eat anything. And this was going on for an extended period of time. The doctors had said, oh, maybe like 2 weeks. And then 2 weeks came and went, 3 weeks, and the time felt so slow. And it especially felt slow because I was in such huge resistance of what was happening in that moment. Me being so disappointed by the fact that I had gone through the surgery, found a kidney that would match, all of that, and then having what I thought was a bad outcome, I was so disappointed and I was in such despair. My nervous system was very dysregulated at that time and I didn't want it to be slow. But I joke, I'm like, I look back and every 24 hours, because we're getting labs drawn almost every single day to see if the tides were turning. And every day it just felt like that 24 hours lasted like a week. So, I know, I get this. Like, I get it when you're in the thick of it, how challenging it can be to accept where you are and to accept that there are things that you cannot change. What changed for me in that time was that, you know, the 2 weeks came, the 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. And around, I want to say around the 5 or 6 week mark was when, and the entire time I had been reading a bunch of personal development books. I was trying every single thing. There were so many prayers. I felt so held by my spiritual community at that time, and yet things weren't turning around physically for me. But around the 5 week mark, I found some different books that were helping me to step into my future self and starting to realize that I had so much control over what I didn't think I had control over. And that was how I was viewing my future, because all those weeks leading up to that point, I had been in this despair that it's never going to get better. This is terrible. It should have gotten better by now. Just so much shame, so much guilt that my body wasn't responding how the doctors wanted it to, how I wanted it to. And it wasn't until I got into that energy of being my future self who had a functioning kidney, who had what I wanted to experience and what I wanted to feel. And so I was doing some pretty heavy meditations at that time, really getting into that future self, really embodying that future healed self whose kidney was functioning. It wasn't until I started to get into that energy that once that 7 weeks passed was the time when my toxin levels in my blood finally started to drop. And I started to heal because I actually believed it was possible. I slowed down enough to accept where I was that I started to take the control over what I did have control over, which was what I was going to believe about my body and her infinite capacity to heal no matter what the situation was. Okay, so that brings us to step two, which is to seek self-compassion. Okay. This is so timely because like I said, I feel like I've been through it the past little while. I gave a talk, if you listened to previous podcasts, about finding miracles during challenging times. And I just thought it was hilarious that they'd given me that topic because I was like, I haven't been through some challenging times recently. So I have in the past, so I can speak to it. Well, universe came up and showed me that. So right before I had that talk, I've shared, I had an injury in my calf muscle and doctors told me that I wouldn't be able to walk for 4 weeks, which I healed completely from that and within 2 weeks because of the principles that I teach my clients, which was so amazing. Okay. So calf, I had a relative's visit, which was amazing, but also stressful because my leg was still injured at that point. And then, we had spring break and my mom was so sweet and drove with me to the kids, down to Florida for spring break. And, we were there for my son for his marching band. We went to Universal and Disney World, and that's a lot of walking, especially when I had not been able to walk at all and I had an injury. I will say the entire time I was there, my calf didn't hurt one time because of the principles that I've learned and that I teach my clients. It was so incredible, but that doesn't mean I wasn't tired, and kids get grouchy. And I also, my husband wasn't able to take time off of work because of his teaching schedule. So I was really sad that he wasn't able to come. It's been years since we've been there. We used to live in Florida. So it was hard being away from him. And then I came back and my husband got COVID. And then promptly I got COVID for the first time since the pandemic. And then he recovered and then he left on a trip right in the middle of when I was sick with COVID. So, like I said, challenging things came up for me throughout that, you know, the past month. And now I'm doing amazing, but it was hard during that time. And a big part of why it was so hard for me, because I'm still continually learning these lessons on a deeper level each time I go through something. But the hardest part about it was that I was judging myself so much for having a difficult time with this. There was no self-compassion that I was cultivating for myself. And my guess is, because a lot of you are like me, is that when you're going through something, it's really easy for you to tell yourself, this isn't that bad. Other people have it worse. This, like, I have so many blessings. I have so much support. This shouldn't be this hard. And the thing that happens when you do that is that you are negating the experience that you are having, and you're also not giving yourself the self-compassion that you need. Instead, you're voting for criticism, which is one of the most deflating emotions. And it's so hard too when you get into that criticism and then the shame comes up and then you have the hiding because you don't want to see and you don't want to be in that shame. Brené Brown is an incredible shame researcher. I highly recommend all of her work on recovering from shame. But what she talks about in order to eliminate shame that you might be experiencing, especially if you are taking what you're going through as something that's really hard and it shouldn't be this hard for you, the most important thing to do during this time is to reach out and tell your story to somebody that you know is going to have compassion for you. Because when you see compassion given to you, it's a lot easier for you to mirror that compassion and adopt that compassion for yourself. I just can't sing the praises of self-compassion enough because it's such a healing energy. You deserve the very best. You don't deserve your criticism. You don't deserve the negative self-talk that you may have been stuck in. You deserve the very best. And even if you can't believe that for yourself right now, believe it from me and offer yourself these words such as, totally makes sense. I'm having a hard time right now. And then go tell yourself why it makes sense that you're having a hard time with what you're going through. Also, yeah, this is challenging for me. I wish I was past it, but I'm not right now. That's just how it goes. And nothing's gone wrong. This is just the way of it sometimes. And my personal favorite, I love me anyway. So try that for you. It's like, I love me anyway. Yeah, maybe I'm not dealing with these challenges exactly perfectly how I think I should, how I should just be above all of this. Whatever. Who cares? Give yourself the self-compassion to be like, yeah, I wish I was, but I'm not. And I love me anyway. Okay, third piece is to, when you are going through some challenges, some transitions, something has gone differently than how you thought it was going to go, third tip is to find the familiar and then slowly add in the new things that you want to have as part of your life. So I thought there was no better fitting story than transition in labor. So as I was having my second baby, I did not have an epidural. No shade to anybody that gets epidurals. Totally personal choice. So, but I chose not to have an epidural with my kiddos during my labors. And with my labor with my second, I felt, and this happened with all of them, I felt like, okay, labor's going good. Like, this is work, but it's not overtaking me. This is fine. And then, as happens with all of them, get to transition. And this is the part where the real work happens. It's where everything is expanding, everything is dilating. You are getting ready to have that baby, for everything to get big enough for the baby to exit this warm, amazing, comfortable womb that this baby has known. But the baby's meant for more than just being in your womb. The baby is meant to be birthed and come to this earth. So while I was in labor with my daughter and I reached transition, I could feel like I started shaking. I felt like I was getting overwhelmed by the sensations in my body. And so what ended up happening is I had a doula there at the hospital and she had a mole. I still remember this. She had a mole on her face. And I'd noticed it before. It wasn't a big deal. But while I was going through that transition and my body was going through such exquisite changes in order for that baby to be born, I remember focusing in on that spot on my doula's face and just paying attention to it, just focusing there, letting go of all of the other distractions of what was happening everywhere else and just focusing in on that familiar. Like, okay, I can just look at her and I can breathe. That's my only job right now. I was laying in the bed and I, as each wave of contraction would come, I would just look at her and focus in on that mole and look at every single detail till I became really familiar with it. And then when the wave passed, I would relax. And then when the wave came again, I would look at that mole and just find something familiar. And as I did that, it allowed my body to relax and for my nervous system, I didn't know it at that time, to start to become more regulated, to become more coherent. And then as my body was able to relax and expand in order for that baby to create space for the baby to be born, I started to be able to listen to, okay, what does my body want right now? What positions does she want to be in? And I was able to move freely and go into the position that my daughter needed me to be in for her to be born. So the reason I tell you this story is because I was finding the familiar in looking at that mole on her face. What is it when you're going through something challenging that is familiar? It could be anything. It could be if you, like I said, as I was going through this recently challenging time, I was like, you know what's familiar? Doing laundry. Like, maybe not the most exciting thing, but I was like, I know the rhythm of how I get laundry going through my family because, I mean, with my husband gone and the kid and me being sick and the kids kind of fending for themselves for a large part, things got really out of hand in my house. So I was like, okay, familiar is like, I know how to run a load of laundry. I know how to have them help with their laundry and to just get that going through. Just something familiar. And then I slowly started adding in new things. I started adding in, okay, like let's get the dishes taken care of again in our routine that we usually do. Let's start. I started creating space. As I was doing the laundry, I was like, I have too many clothes. So I started just slowly calling back some of the clothes that I didn't wear anymore. So as you're going through these transition parts, sorry, going back to the story, point of the story with the labor is that I was finding the familiar. So find whatever's familiar in your situation that you're going through. And then I slowly started adding in new things. Once I was able to find the familiar and focus in on that mole that the doula had on her face, then I was able to start to pay attention a little bit more outside of me. And that's when my body was like, hey, you need to move. You need to stand up. You need to move around. So I was able to move through what I was going through and transition into something new. Just like, okay, I've got the laundry done. Okay, maybe I can start to get rid of some of these clothes because maybe there's just too much here. So as you are going through, if you have a new diagnosis or new physical symptoms, find what is familiar, find what feels good, and then start adding in new things. The tendency is to try to make everything go from one direction to the next so quickly. And you give yourself whiplash. And of course, in that state, that dysregulated state, of course your physical symptoms are going to increase. Of course they're going to be out of control and you're going to be like, why do I feel like garbage? It's because you're expecting too much of yourself in that moment. So let's recap. It's time to slow down and seek that self-compassion. Watch the words that you're saying to yourself. Watch how you're talking to yourself, about yourself. And finally, find that familiar. And instead of going headstrong and trying to change every single thing about your life when you're going through a transition, just go to what feels familiar and then slowly add something in. Another thing, my sweet sister, she lived in Utah for a very long time. And then her husband was going to go do grad school in Michigan, and she was taken completely out of her comfort zone. And as they were going around looking for houses, looking for places to live, she was just like really having a hard time until she found out where Costco was. And she drove to the Costco parking lot, sat in the Costco parking lot, and felt like, okay, they have a Costco in Utah, they have a Costco in Michigan. Something finally feels the same. Your nervous system is always trying to seek out comfort because when you feel comfortable, that's when you are in an aligned state, when all of the things in your body are working coherently together. So find something that brings you peace and comfort during that time. Find that familiar thing, and then you can slowly add in the new things. And your life will change very drastically if you do it slowly with intention to take really good care of yourself. Because chances are you've gone through transitions before and you have beat yourself up for not doing it fast enough, not doing it perfect enough, and then really totally exhausting yourself. If you want to increase your energy, sometimes it's better to slow down and be deliberate. Be deliberate with your energy source. Where are you drawing your energy from? Is it from a source of fear and scarcity? Or is it from a source of faith and trust that things are going to turn around? They will turn out for your best interest, which they always do. The universe is constantly conspiring in your favor. Which energy source are you drawing your power from? There is power in drawing your energy source from fear. It's just a very exhausting energy state to stay in. If you are in constant fight or flight, you can only stay there for so long until your energy is zapped. There is a more sustaining energy source that is available to you, and that is faith and trust and enjoyment and pleasure and satisfaction and peace. Did you know that you could act out of those emotions, that energy space? And that's going to give you energy that's sustaining and replenishing. Okay, I hope that you enjoyed this show today, and I can't wait to talk to you more about all of these amazing ways in order to create your energized life, to live a vibrant life. It's a program that I offer, is Living Your Vibrant Life, 12 weeks to getting your energy back. If you've been waiting to get your energy back, stop. Join me. I'd love to invite you to a call. You can sign up in the link in the bio for a fatigue recovery call in order to get your energy back, to be able to live that vibrant life that you have forgotten about, that you can only imagine, or maybe you can't imagine it right now. That's one of the things I do in coaching, is I help you to re-envision your life in a way that you do have your energy back and you're living from that future self. And I help you to be able to get embodied in that future self so that you can live that reality today. All right. Have an incredible week, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Are you ready to welcome in vibrancy and energy into your life? Join me for a fatigue recovery call. We'll get on a call and I will share my 3-step process for getting your energy back, personalized especially for you. Simply go to the show notes and schedule your call today. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you're looking for a life coach to work with, what are you waiting for? Let's get coaching together today. I hope you have a wonderful week as you take your power back on creating more vitality, energy, and vibrancy in your life today.